the promise of God is something kind of interesting in terms of this process. And he transforms our rebellion into a kind of preciousness that only can be seen in contrasts. Unfortunately for Burnett, it took 20 years. For Mike, it took 10 years. But the promise of God is that we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image, and we proceed from glory to glory. And it's like we've been taught all our life to do the opposite. Instead of seeing in the glass the glory of God, the living Christ, we see in the glass ourselves. And so when a husband looks at his wife, he doesn't see his wife, he sees himself, i.e. how she can benefit him or what he can. Or when we look at even God stuff, we look at God and say, well, how can I benefit from this? So everything and every place we look in the world is a mirror. And the mirror, for most of us, if it wasn't that way, we wouldn't be here. The mirror for us has become marred. And as it's been scratched and tattered, then we see through the mirror. And we see on the other side of the mirror, there's Christ. And as we go through that process, in order to have the mirror scratched, it's real painful. It's to tear off that the back of the mirror so that you see through it instead of seeing a reflection of yourself, literally is the tearing away of the flesh. And that's why Christ said, if you don't suffer with him, you can't reign with him. You know, and I was thinking about two of the most interesting first fruit meetings that I had were with Johnny and with Michael. Michael's was just brutal because of some stuff that he has been doing secretly. But Johnny's was gentle and nice, and only because Johnny admitted a weakness. And once he admitted a weakness, then it ripped off the back of the mirror, so he doesn't have to look and see himself in the glass anymore. He can see through the mirror. And as we see through that mirror, then we proceed from glory to glory. And that's the only exhortation, or the only thing, that's the thing that, that's why we keep going. That's why Harry gets in trouble so much. I mean, Ed thinks he gets in trouble. He doesn't know trouble until he's walked in Harry's shoes.
Not even.
Huh?
It's not even short grass.
Short. And of course then Doug would say, Harry doesn't even know trouble unless...
you don't know from trouble.
He's got to be my... Doug's got to... You don't know trouble any if you've been Ollie's roommate.
Was out there. I always remember he was near to me as near to the fire.
What?
We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the only thing that keeps us going. That's the only thing that causes reality to seep into our lives. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And as we see him by looking through the glass, we're transfigured into that same image. And that's, and then Paul goes on to describe glory to glory. It sounds like, wow, glory to glory. Let's get charismatic. But he then goes on to say, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry as we have received mercy, we quit not, we faint not in our minds. If I could exhort every one of you one thing, and then that's to not quit in your minds. Most of you don't have the courage to quit, but you quit in your minds. You say, it's too difficult. This path, this walk, this... I love my idolatry too much. And so you quit in your minds. And some of you are great actors or actresses, so nobody around you knows that you quit in your minds. To quit in your minds means that you're walking in dishonesty. You understand that? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And as you know, that word deceitful means that you've added water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. You've added psychobabble to the word for the purposes of attracting. Or you try to do what Tom did today. He tried to argue. His first words this morning when he came into the meeting is he accused me of being a fascist. And then he started to prove it.
Blue.
Huh?
I remember your glue.
And then he started to prove it by using the scriptures. He was arguing scripture with me. And Doug and Harry, I mean Doug and Gary and Judy were in there, and they were, you could see their face fall.
They're like,
it said, they were trying to work, said, don't do that, Tom.
He must be the dumbest man in the Western world.
That would have been the first thing I would have
said. It wasn't a pretty sight, but it turned out great.
It was righteous.
It turned out great. It turned out wonderful because Tom, I think for the first time in his life, saw that he doesn't have to be right anymore. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What does that mean? To commend ourselves to every man's conscience. It means you don't hold anything back.
What are you reading?
What?
What are you reading?
I made it up. 2 Corinthians.
He's really got a comic book inside of that Bible.
Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
2 Corinthians 4, 3.
4, now in verse 3. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, how has he blinded?
What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now, how is he blinded? He's blinded by causing everything to be a mirror. No, everything is a reflection of how it affects you. What does it mean to me? And so it doesn't matter whether you're a Buddhist or a Christian or a Hindu or a Muslim or an atheist or just sort of hanging around. If you look at life in terms of how it affects you and you see everything you look as a mirror, then you are in the kingdom of the God of this world. You understand? It doesn't matter what name you put on it. The test is whether or not you see Christ in it. The tell that you don't see Christ is that you will segment. You'll say, well, God is in this, but he's not in this. That should be the tell to you that you have become your own God. This word says that God is all and in all. So if you deny that word and say, well, he's in this, but he's not in this, then that's the tell to you that you're not interested in what God's in, you're interested in what benefits you. So the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It can't. It's not that it shouldn't, it can't. Because the mirror keeps, if I'm enclosed in a mirror and wherever I look, I see, oh my God, I think that's such a beautiful sunset. If every predicate is I think, if that's the foundation, or I see, or I want, or I need, or I, what has that done? It's enclosed you in a mirror. And in that mirror, you cannot see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's not that you... It's that God has made it so you can't see it. Do you understand? Because you will be, what you will confuse as the light of God is these little light beams that are running around inside the mirror. It's like a dome that's an enclosed mirror, and that's your world. And every once in a while somebody shines a flashlight and it goes bouncing around this dome and you think, my God, there's God. It's like judgmental praise. You remember we've talked about that? You go up to a great artist and say, you're really a great artist, or you're really good. The artist wants to just smack you on because you've elevated yourself above the artist and made the judgment. It's judgmental praise. And that's what you do to God. You see a situation that meets your idolatry and you say, oh, praise God, ain't God good? And you, that's what these guys do on television in the name of God. You understand? And you've elevated yourself above the God of the universe. And your judgmental praise, even on God. You know, do you understand what one of you would do if you came up to me and said, oh, Ollie, that was a great sermon tonight? I'd hit you right in the mouth.
You preach well.
We hit ourselves.
Yeah, well, Harry. I can't get it. I can't. I mean, do you understand that when you make that kind of a statement, you elevate yourself above the person that you're making the statement to? And you, when you say that, when you take and make God conditional, you've elevated yourself above God. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how much you raise your hands. I don't care how much you talk in tongues. If you, when you do that thing and you say, oh, praise God, we got the victory on this issue, and then God is so good to me because he, I mean, you're judging God. And you're blaspheming his name among the Gentiles.
Like, if it's going well, God's great. But if it's not going well, God's...
Satan's won.
He's not even there.
Yeah, and you're also making him almost like your worker bee.
Yeah, you're making God your errand boy. So the gospel of God cannot shine onto someone who's still enclosed in the mirror. Understand that? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. I'm going to stop listening to televangelists.
Amen.
What? Because it's this strange Persian dualism that puts Satan on the same footing of God as God, and it's this battle that Satan and God are having. Can you imagine anything more ludicrous?
And you have to be the soldier for Christ, beating down.
We are troubled at every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You understand despair cannot be in your language anymore? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Do you know what mortal means in the Greek?
Dead.
Huh?
Dead.
Carrion.
But his life comes out of that death.
In 10, it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
That's what it says, doesn't it?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Means that you are always delivered unto death.
You die.
You pick up the cross daily. You die daily. That the process of being a believer is a continuum of emptying of self. I mean, we could say that we're all dying of age.
Age.
Yeah.
Forever. And it wouldn't make an impact. It wouldn't communicate. But yet the fear of AIDS, you know, so what? You might live another 20 years than you would, or less, or I mean, but it's we're a puff of smoke on the face of the earth. We refuse to face our own mortality. And because we refuse to face that, we are so quickly led astray by idols and causes and purposes and ideas and agendas and careers. Every breath you take may be your last. Every sunrise you see may be the last one you ever look at. Life should be lived in that moment of abandonment, not in the idea of being careful and protecting and scheming. And therein is the joy of life. You know, I keep tonight for two or three different times I've thought back to that moment in that hotel room with a gun in my mouth, and I had, you know, I knew I had 3 seconds to live. It's surprising how much less mail you have to go through. It's surprising how short your list gets. You understand that if you believe the scriptures, it says we should live hasting the day of his coming, hasting the end. I mean, what would your life be like if you knew you had, let me just, you know, we've done this before, but it's time to do it again. If you knew you were going to die at 5 p.m. tomorrow, What are you going to do? Well, I got to prepare for... Uh-oh. It's not there. I'm going to die. I've got to worry about... No, not that either. And you, I promise you, if you go down all those things, the only thing that will be important is love. And the only compulsion, you know, when I knew I was going to die, the only thing that I was sorry about was that I was over thousands of miles away and I couldn't tell the body how much I loved them. That was the only thing that consumed me. Nothing else mattered. We are troubled in every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. That's the only way that the words you speak can be spirit and life if they cause death in the speaker. They will cause life in the hearer. That's why you are so bored unto... Can you imagine going to a how-to speech now? Did you burn your damn books?
I want to see this fire. I don't think you did.
Huh?
I think we need to have a public...
No, they got a library of how to have a successful marriage book. I mean, books. Huh. And there's this great phrase in there that she memorized.
Oh, yes.
All I want to be is the wife that the Lord wants me to be.
The best I can be.
And she was dying inside and didn't know it.
Yeah.
Because the thing was covered by all the layers of hypocrisy.
So burn.
The how-to books. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. I spoke of this homeless thing at the McCutcheon place, and I said, and there was all these homeless experts there.
Homeless.
Homeless. No, homeless pimps. They're people that made their living off the homeless. And I said that you cannot be considered an expert on the homeless unless you've had a homeless person living in your house. And the woman, she has not liked me ever since then. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Because we believe and therefore speak, we never have to be concerned with what we're going to say next. We never have to prepare a sermon. We never have to learn how to live. Because we believe, we speak. And that expressive, explosive, free, makes you free. Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find principles of eternal life. But you fools, they testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise up also, us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things exist for your sake. That's what it says in the Greek. It says here, all things are for your sakes. All things exist for your sake. The farthest reaches of space to the smallest details of political life, They exist as a parable to reveal a mystery to you. It's their only purpose of existence. If it wasn't for you, the world would end. And unless you know that, you're not a believer. You're not a victim of anything. Everything exists for you to see the mystery. You own all things. How can you be concerned with what you don't have? If there's a moment of apparent need, it's simply the chastisement of the Father. Not chastisement to wrath, but chastisement for exhortation. All things exist for your purpose. You own all things. Therefore, you can afford to be humble, because you never have to worry about exerting yourself. And therein is the charm of the life of a believer. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, and for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, and in some of us it's perishing faster than others, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, ever. We literalize nothing. All things are parables. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. And therein we live, in the unseen. Think of these things. Amen? Take a big guy.